Hello, swimmers from around the world. I'm Coach Pedro and bring you now another conversation with an interesting young open water swimmer from the San Francisco Bay. Sydney Roberts, an 18-year-old from San Francisco, California. She has been swimming with Water World Swim for 6 years since she was 12 years old. On July 8, Sydney swam 16 kilometers across the Bonifacio Channel between the island of Sardinia and Italy to the island of Corsica, France, completing the swim in 5 hours. Sydney worked hard over a year and during the pandemic in the cold waters of the San Francisco Bay in order to be well prepared and accomplish successfully the swim. And this conversation, she's letting us know about her training toward the Bonifacio Marathon swim, also routines and details of her nutrition and other sports she practices parallel to open water swimming. She recently, on last September, she is candidate to start her studies at Brown University. At the end of this conversation, she gratefully is going to play one of her favorite instrument, the fiddler, making this one of the most interesting and fun conversation with Coach Pedro. Hi, Sydney. Welcome to another Water World Swim podcast.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been swimming with Water World for maybe 6 years now, since I was in middle school. And it was sort of my alternative to swim team. I wanted to get outdoors and see what the bay was all about. So I decided to try it out one day. And the first time I came in a shorty wetsuit, which at the time I thought was a really bad idea because I was super cold. But then I kept coming back. Eventually I sort of fell in love with the bay, and I really like Aquatic Park and swimming in the wall with all the other swimmers there. And then at some point I've taken the wetsuit off and I just like being in skins in the bay. And sort of like swimming around in the salt water. And then I started to set goals for myself once I had come to Water World Swim Sunday practices a lot. And I did my first Alcatraz, which is sort of a classic race. And I love doing that. I've done maybe 3 of those. And then I decided I wanted to lengthen the distance that I was swimming. So
How old you were when you did your first Alcatraz, and how long ago was that?
That was, I would say, 7th or 8th grade. So that was like definitely 4 or 5 years ago. I guess I was like 13 or 14, maybe earlier than that. I don't really remember. It's sort of been ongoing, but it was a while ago. And then I did Bridge to Bridge, which was the race I sort of set my sights on after that as the like 10K. So I did that last summer during COVID, which was sort of a miracle that that happened. But they had like a smaller boat, and we all wore masks on the boat and then jumped in the water and swam from the Golden Gate to the Bay Bridge. And that was great because there's a fantastic view on that swim. So you can see the skyline go past as you swim. And then I decided I needed to add more. And there was sort of a next like logical race, which was 15K. So the distance of this Bonifacio swim fit perfectly. And I'd heard about it because another Water World group had gone of kids my age. And then I was sort of becoming friends with them at the Sunday swims. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then another bonus was the warm water. So I could swim with no wetsuit in this warm water. Another like challenging distance, just adding another 5K on. So I said, okay, that's a good new goal to have.
So tell me about when you started swimming and open water swimming in the San Francisco Bay, which is not one of the warmest places on earth, but it's at the same time, it's a great place to train. And then what was their reaction, your teachers, people, or your parents?
Yeah, well, my parents are very excited about it. They don't really go out and swim. So they sort of like wait with like chicken noodle soup and tea on the side. And they like being in the boat, but maybe not in the water. It sort of sounds extreme to some people. They're like, wow, you swim. Of course you wear a wetsuit, right? And now I can say, no, no wetsuit. But I've sort of dragged some of them out also. I've taken some of my friends out with some convincing, and then they come back for a second time. So it's very fun once you get out there, but it can sound super, super far out when you first hear about it.
How you discovered Waterworld Swim?
I think I discovered it like with my dad. We were probably just searching for alternative swim things to do in San Francisco. So we probably found you online, but the first time I went was struck by the very friendly atmosphere. It's a really welcoming place to come as a first-time swimmer, even if you're super unsure of getting in the water, or you've never been in open water, you've never been in cold water. All of those things are okay. And I remember even though I was really cold that first time with my shorty wetsuit, I still wanted to come back because it was just a fun place to be. And so I think the mental barrier of getting over any sort of like cold shock was worth it to just come back. And then over time, I've like really found a good community of people there too. And very nice people, very welcoming, supportive people. When you start to do big swims or little swims or like going out farther for the first time, going around the wall for the first time, like all these things are very exciting. I really like being out in the open water and sort of like venturing out beyond even aquatic park. But our training started in earnest in March. And that's when I started doing like long swims outside the cove. So I would go out with at least a paddle boarder. So I was at least with Mike, sometimes a boat if we were like really in the middle of the bay. But we would go out for a couple hours and build up the time. And I thought it was fun.
This was toward the training, toward the start getting ready for the Bonifacio, the 15 kilometers, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was the training for the swim I just did. And we started with like 2 hours, maybe just straight swimming. I went out a little earlier than the regular Sunday swim one day. And we worked up. Our longest in the bay was 4.5 hours by the end of this training. And what that was doing was getting familiar with rougher water and different currents and how things could like change out in the middle, and then building up endurance and mental endurance also. I'm just like counting the time in my head, singing a lot of songs.
Were you able to mix your workouts with pool workouts too toward the end of the pandemic?
Yeah. So the goal was to have sort of like a consistent training schedule all week long. And the way I did it was I mixed in some running and pool swimming during the week. Because when I started training in earnest, there was pool closures everywhere and I couldn't find any spaces. Even at gyms, and then city pools are really hard to find slots at, especially when they're only open like once a week. So I was doing a lot more running in the beginning. I found some gyms that were open and I could like do the go on at midnight, press the button before all the bots get to it, and then get my slot for 2 days later. And so I sort of like had that on lockdown as like my pattern to get enough pool times in during the week. Those were only 50-minute slots. So then I was like, well, they're kicking me out a little too early for these like longer workouts that I was given. I like got a little creative, like I'd get two in a row or make friends with the lifeguard or something. And then sometimes towards the end, I had to like negotiate a little pool space for longer workouts. And then I was able to use a friend's pool for a little while. So I sort of pieced these things together. But that was my during the week practicing in preparation for the longer swims.
Did you tell these people that were in the pool, or they were trying to help you too? Did they understand what you were going for?
Yeah, I think, well, when I got to talking to people, and I would say, well, can I like stay in for 10 minutes? Cause I am training for this really long swim. And then they would like recognize me week after week. Like people think it was interesting. They'd be like, oh, that's so cool. Where do you swim? Or do you have any tips for my strokes? And I was like, I don't know. I just like to swim.
Which one was the hardest part of your training?
I was very excited about it the whole time. Like, I think I really enjoyed the process of getting there. I don't think I ever doubted why I wanted to do it. Exercising and getting outside is really important. And this is like, even if it doesn't happen, because it was really unclear if, you know, I could like leave my house during lockdown, even some days, like I couldn't get out, I had to work out like in my room, or if we could go to Italy. I was like, well, maybe next year, but then that would just be even more training time. Like it helps me when I have a goal, no matter how far ahead it is, to like look forward to. So I don't think I was like, I don't want to do it, it's not worth it. It was more of like, this is getting me somewhere, even if it's like feeling better because I'm working out for something during lockdown, because I was able to do that. So my last couple days of training were over July 4th weekend. And then the week after that, I did a few more pool swims. But on July 4th, I did the biggest swim I'd done. And it was the 4.5 hour one. That was fun because I got to swim with Golda and Anaya. And we saw a rainbow before we went off. Then we did our swim. It was a very foggy day. That was fun. And then parts in Italy, those were interesting too.
And now let's take 2 seconds break and tell us about your arrival to Sardinia.
The first day we got there, we had to go find Tommaso, who worked at his meat and cheese counter behind the restaurant. So we ate there, we introduced ourselves, we said hi. And then every day after that, I would go check in with Tommaso, who was always very friendly, but it was super windy that week of the swim. So every day he'd be like, nope, it can't be tomorrow, it's too windy. So then I would go back home and like eat some gelato. And then we would go to the beach the next day, and then I'd go check in at the charcuterie board counter. I'm sure they're not charcuterie boards, but they're very delicious. One day, finally, we were like, okay, well, I'm leaving in 2 days. And I had done like some practice swims, like back and forth on the Marina Bianca beach there, just to sort of keep up that week, but nothing too intense. He was like, okay, so tomorrow morning we'll go 7 a.m. be at the dock. So we went to the dock. The night before, my dad was very helpful and involved with the food preparations. So we actually discovered a lot of things about the nutrition that you need for one of these swims, and like how to efficiently package that and how to best do that. So we packed up our food provisions for the next day, which I can also talk about because I think that's kind of interesting. And then went to the boat the next morning and we were off.
Tell me a little bit about the nutrition and knowing that you are a runner also, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it was much different from when you used to run more or during your training times, getting ready for the swim?
Well, my general nutrition was pretty much the same. I eat a lot and a lot of protein and sort of like a little bit of every food group is like what I try to put on the plate. And I don't eat that much red meat. I was vegetarian for a while, but I eat fish and sometimes chicken now, especially when I'm training for something like this. So I just sort of continued eating even more actually when we were really training, because I was just hungry all the time and I needed to refuel my body. Like before a workout, I would eat a little breakfast. I like eggs in the morning, or like chia puddings. We make them at home, like chia seeds and coconut milk. Leave it in the fridge overnight, and then they puff up. I would bring like chicken noodle soup for right after the big swims because I saw Golda doing it one day, so now I do it. Then like eat normal lunch and dinner foods, eat a lot of them. But then during the swim, which is something I didn't do while running because I've only run like 5K cross country races. But it's definitely something you do for endurance sports is you eat during the race. So when you're swimming, you have to keep treading water and every half hour. And it's very important that you keep the feeding intervals. So you're not thirsty and then you drink because by that point you're already dehydrated. But every half hour, we'd stop a little bit and then toss out a bottle from the boat, which was attached to a very long rope. And in the bottle was some sport drink. And then attached to the bottle was like a little bit of food or fuel, because I like to have some solid sort of texture mixed in with the sport drink. So we would duct tape a goo, like you duct tape the little top flap of the goo to the bottle so you can rip it off, and then so that I didn't litter the bottom part of the goo. My dad put a like string of duct tape from the bottom to the bottle also. So you can do goo that way, or you can do that for sort of like a applesauce squeeze container shape with like protein smoothie in it. Those are also good.
What kind of a music do you like?
I like a lot of music. Oh, I sung songs in my head. And a lot of those songs were like early 2000s songs. I would sing like some Beyonce and Mariah Carey in my head. All or right. Like, I don't know, random things get stuck in your head sometimes. Like you can go a whole swim and just sing like My Girl by The Temptations. You like different parts of the song pop into your head.
Hey, those are from my times.
I play old time string band music and fiddle music. And I play a little guitar too. I'm self-taught on that one.
It would have been great to end this interview that you play something, you know?
Yeah, I could pull it out.
Yeah.
Maybe later. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I do my little chords on the guitar, but on fiddle, I like to play for square dances and like with a band that would have like a banjo and a guitar. And sometimes we do contests or like jams.
Do you have a group, friends or?
Yeah, I have some friends who play fiddle music also. They live all different places.
And during your training time, they were able to play music with you so you could relax too?
Well, I haven't played with other people in a while because of COVID, but felt obviously exhausted after the swim. But when you get back on shore, then like my whole family was there eating at the little cafe by the port. And there's also a great wave of support from San Francisco back home from Waterworld. I mean, obviously it was not possible without like support from Pedro and Mike paddleboard a lot. And I mean, Jake was always on the paddleboard too. And I got the nutrition advice from Kathy also. And there were like all these people behind the swim who were there till the end. They did a little cheer and they emailed me on the day out.
So cheering?
I did. I heard the cheer all the way from Europe.
What kind of advice you will give to future swimmers of the Vanier Fascia?
Learn everything you can about the process. Like really be in tune with the nutrition that's available to you and then what your body needs. Be aware of like the amount of time it takes, and then have fun doing all that because it's very enjoyable and you'll get something out of it either way, no matter how the swim goes. But you'll feel a lot stronger and fitter and faster. And be prepared for, it's very salty. Maybe the salt concentration is higher, but it's quite salty. So there's like little differences you notice. I also think the last half mile was the most challenging part because I couldn't see the beach. I wasn't really sure if I was going forward anymore, but I had been swimming for like 4.5 hours. And my dad was like, no, it's right there. Unclear if he could actually see it, but it was a good push to the end. So keep pushing yourself to the end because most of it's mental. You really have to want it. But when you're already there, I just thought to myself, like, what am I going to do? Get back on the boat? No, I'm already here. So might as well see it through.
Fantastic. Challenges that you're thinking of right now. What your next future?
You know, I've been thinking maybe I'll do a swim near college. Maybe I'll hop in the Narragansett Bay. I think it's really cold, but I could make a swim there. Or like swim around Manhattan Island, I think. That could be a fun one. Something on the East Coast.
Cool. Tell us where you're going and where you're going to be. And that's the reason maybe you are interested in doing these swims in the East Coast now.
Yeah. Well, I will be relocating next month to go to college. So I'll be moving to Rhode Island. I'm going to Brown next year.
Brown University. So, and I just first time that I saw that you are interested in engineering.
Yeah. I'm thinking either engineering or biochem science. I have to decide, but.
Civil engineering?
Maybe, yeah. I like to build things.
We're going to say goodbye while you're playing the fiddle? Is that possible? Thank you so much. And I wish you all kind of luck. Keep in touch. Okay. And good luck. And keep in touch from Brown University. Okay.
Yes. And thank you.
How things are going over there. Okay.